Good morning, church. Good morning, family, actually. How are we doing this morning? It's such a privilege to be with you guys this morning. Actually, when Pastor Steve asked me, would you mind doing the 4th of May, right? in Waterloo, what happened first? My heart skipped. My heart skipped because I'm like, I'm just getting used to having it, and now you're sending me out to Waterlooville. But on the second thought, my heart skipped again. Upon looking at, I said yes, because my wife tells me I don't know how to say no. So I just, he's my senior pastor. I said yes already. Then I looked at what today was about, then my heart skipped again. The first skipping was a skip of fear. I'm honest. But the second skipping was the evangelist in me rejoicing for joy. Because what we're going to be considering today is what Christianity is all about. Before we go into it, I just want us to just close our eyes and just pray and just thank God for this day. For it's because of him that we are alive. It's because of his living breath in us we can rejoice. And therefore, let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for this time. We ask that you speak and your word even makes a meaning and impact in our hearts. May we not just be hearers of your word, but may we be actually doers of your word, putting your words into action. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Sandy, Pastor Chris, thank you so much for this opportunity as well. It's not every day you get this opportunity to share their altar. Okay? And I want to reveal a secret. So Pastor Sandy said, I'm sold out for God. Which is very true, very correct. But also, it's because my wife has offered me on the altar. Because she says something. She tells people that, as for me, she's not bothered. She has already offered me as a living sacrifice. So imagine when your wife offers you as a living sacrifice. You can't say no to God. Amen. Amen. It's such a glorious and joyous day. So all of our family church, we're starting a new series today, Growing God's Family. And today what I'm going to be talking about is God wants a big family. Who knows God wants a big family? Good. So that makes it easy, right? God wants a big family. So concerning humanity, you and me, your friends, your family, my friends, my family, your neighbors, my neighbors, God's perfect will is that none should what? Perish. That is his perfect will. Your neighbors, your colleagues, your friends, your family, his perfect will for those people is that none should what? Perish. God's perfect will is that all should turn to the knowledge of the truth. The truth that what? The tomb is empty. We do not serve a dead God. We do not serve a man-made God. We don't need to pour libations. I grew up in Benin. I grew up in Nigeria. Benin is one location in Nigeria. And they are famous for pouring libations to their man-made gods. In the morning, you wake up at 4 junctions. I don't know why they like 4 junctions a lot. 4 junctions, you see the calabash, you see stuffs, you see red oil and stuffs. But that's not the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that is true to our heart, that we can feel, that communicates. We don't serve a God that is dumb, that doesn't speak. We serve a God that speaks, that communicates, that listens. Amen. Amen. 2 Peter 2:9 tells us this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Now, I want everyone to underline the phrase, patient with you, in your Bibles. If you're highlighting, just highlight if you can highlight. Right? Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come towards repentance. Now we're going to camp in this verse for a while and just open it up a little bit and see what God wants to minister to us through this particular verse. So the first thing, let's look at the phrase, patient with you. You know, sometimes when we read this this particular verse, we probably might interpret it differently, but let's look at it in this light. Patient with you. It means you and I have what? A responsibility. Do we all agree? A responsibility that is entrusted to us. The moment you said yes to God as your Lord and Savior, He's entrusted a responsibility to you. Okay? He's patient with what? You is patient with me. Hence, God is patient with you and me in carrying out this responsibility. He's patient with you and me in carrying out this responsibility. Also, if you go down that verse, you see, not wanting anyone to what? Perish. Are we all together? So what that tells us, that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He became the staircase to salvation. Praise the Lord. He became the staircase to salvation. In the old covenant, man had to go through the high priest, and that was not even a certainty, because even the high priest had to be clean. Even the high priest himself had standards he had to meet, or else what will happen? If he goes in, he will not return. So imagine putting your hope and your trust in that kind of thing. But when Jesus came, we celebrated Easter Sunday recently, right? So we know he's alive, he's risen and everything. What happened at that point in time is that what? He parted the way, he made the way open, free access to the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through me. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No longer the high priest. The veil has been torn from top to what? Bottom. Free access to the Father. Okay? So we've looked at patience with you, right? We've looked at the whole concept of not wanting everyone to perish. Or anyone to perish. But everyone to come towards repentance. Now let's camp on this word repentance a little bit. What does repentance mean? It simply means turning away from sin and turning towards Jesus. So you had an old life, but the moment you encounter Jesus, what happens? You've turned away from that sin, and you don't leave it empty. You embrace what? Jesus. Amen? Repentance is receiving the gift of salvation through Jesus. So what we're doing this morning is just setting that foundation, that the fact that God wants what? A big family. Okay? So let's just go with the flow. Praise the Lord. Let's see what John 1:10-13 tells us. So he tells us this. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not what? Receive him. Yet, now this is where I want us to focus on. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of what? Of God. Amen. So that simply tells us that you and I are what? Children of what? Of God, of the Most High. So repentance leads to adoption. Amen. The moment you turn away from sin and you turn to Christ, to Jesus as Lord and Savior, he adopts you into his family. Amen? Romans 8:14-16 tells us this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. So at the point of repentance, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. Praise the Lord. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen. What we're doing right now is laying that foundation of the fact that the moment you walk into Christ Jesus, what happens? Adoption takes place. Your status in life changes. You are no longer the old you. You have become a child of God. You've stepped into the family of God. Amen. Amen. Also, if you still look at that same verse, going back to 2 Peter, right? 3:9, it says anyone and everyone, if you go through it. And what this indicates is that God desires a big family. It says anyone and everyone. So the moment you step into God's presence, what happens? He adopts you. It doesn't matter who you are. He didn't come for a few. He came for many, anyone, and everyone. Therefore, two questions that all we have that comes to mind is what is God's family actually? And also, what is our responsibility in God's family? So probably you must be pondering on these two questions. What is actually God's family? And do we have a responsibility as Christians, as members of that family? Do we actually have a responsibility? So let's consider the first question. What is God's family? You and I, the church, is God's family. Amen? Amen? In Ephesians 2:19-20, it clearly tells us that consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Household is another name for what? Family. Amen? Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. We are solidly founded. As a Christian, you are rooted in Christ Jesus. As a member of his family, you are secured. When the rains and the storm shall come, what happens? You will not fall because you are standing on the bottomless what rock? Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. As members of this family, through adoption, we are now citizens, which means we carry what? A heavenly passport. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is exciting. We carry a heavenly passport. Now let's talk a little bit about passport. Do we all have passports here? Okay. I like that. That's good. Good. So I was doing a little bit of research, and visaguide.com says that the British passport actually gives you free visa access to how many countries? Who knows? Does anyone know? Okay. Up a bit, see close. Come down. Oh? Hope you're not Googling. Yeah, go up a little bit. Okay, let's. Once you're very close, but let's take away 8 from it. 152. So as at March 2025, you can go to 152 countries without a visa as a British passport holder. So you're lucky, right? For those that have the British passport. Okay? But, okay, another question. Who knows the strongest passport? Like, because you can go to medical. Singapore. It's actually Singapore. Well, that was close. It's actually Singapore. So in Singapore, you can go to about 187 countries without a visa. But what is the point here? With a heavenly passport, you have free visa access. You don't need a visa to what? Access God's presence. Even with all those countries and their beautiful passports and whatever, some countries you still probably need to get a visa to go or visa on arrival. But with the heavenly passport you carry based on adoption, what happens? You do not what? Require a visa. Praise the Lord. Free access to our Father. Therefore, all should accept the gift of salvation brought about by the divine exchange that happened on the finished work of the cross. That should be our priority as Christians, wanting to ensure that everyone accepts this gift of salvation. Because the truth of the matter is, if you can flash back to the point you said, yes to him as Lord and Savior, was there an internal joy that happened in you? There's an internal joy that happens. It reminds me of the Christmas season. When you buy gifts for your kids, right? Salvation is a gift. And you wrap it all up. What happens? The moment they're unwrapping that gift and they see that is what they have wished for, thinking it was Santa. Okay? God forgive us. That still tells some of our kids that it's Santa. But some kids are very smart. They know that there's no Santa. Right? But the moment they see, what happens? They leap for joy. And that's how we should be in the house of the Lord. That's how we should be in the presence of the Lord, knowing that he has given us a gift that no man can give. And the moment we are unwrapped, because it's a daily unwrapping of that gift. Trust me, with the gift of salvation, it's a daily unwrapping. That's why the Bible tells us that we should continually renew our mind. It's not a one-off unwrapping. It's a daily thing. Continually renew, continually unwrap the gift of salvation. We should leap for what? For joy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everyone that has breath do what? Good. Not just human breath, but you carry the breath of what? The living God. So praise the Lord. Now this brings us to the second question. In this whole family of God, the church, as the body of Christ, have been adopted to, do we have responsibilities? Do we? Okay, I like that. So, one of our responsibility as adopted children into his family is that we are to point others to the direction of who? Of Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Also, we are to tell others about Jesus. So you are pointing, you are telling, you are speaking, you are acting out. They are not. It's not like. Let me. Acting might not be the right word. You are living in it. Okay. Our responsibility is to live a lifestyle that is wrapped in evangelism daily. I'll take that again. Our responsibility as adopted children into his family is to live a lifestyle that is wrapped in evangelism daily. So what am I saying here? It should not be a Sunday thing that we put on the garment of evangelism. From Monday to Sunday, from January to December, from morning till night, we should live a lifestyle that depicts what? Evangelism. So our attitudes, our communication, how we deal with situations in our workplace. Do we react to situations the way non-believers react to the same situation? When we are faced with a challenge at work, how do we react? Amen? Do they see Christ's likeness in us? Amen. However, the reality with evangelism is that many struggle with it. True or false? That's the reality. The reality with evangelism is that many still struggle with it. But this is fine, because some have gotten the wrong concept about evangelism. Amen? And we're going to just clarify this. Why some still struggle, why many still struggle with evangelism is because they have a wrong concept about it. Many think it's only for a selected few. It's only for the pastor. It's only for Pastor Sandy, Pastor Chris, the worship team, the sound team, those in position in the office. It's only for those in position in the church. It's only for those that hold such position. That is false. Many also think it's about handing out leaflets and inviting people to church only. The key word there is only. Evangelism goes beyond just handing out leaflets. It's part of it, but it goes beyond it. Many think that they are not qualified to evangelize. Don't forget, he does not call the qualified. He what qualifies the called. Praise the Lord. However, again, here is the real picture of evangelism. So the first we consider is a false picture. It's not for a selected few. You are qualified for evangelism. It's not that you are not qualified for evangelism. Okay? It's not only about handing out leaflets and inviting people to church, which is part of it, but it's not only about that. Evangelism is a responsibility. And if you want to define the word responsibility, the other day we were at Grow, and Pastor Stu did justice to this, and blew my mind. Responsibility is a response to an ability God has given you through his Son, Jesus. The moment you step into Jesus, he has given you ability. You are no longer a slave to fear. You have a new spirit. And that is ability in itself. But because he knows he has given you that ability, there is also a response to it. Responsibility. Amen. It's a command as well. If you look at Mark 16:15, it says what? Go. Go into the world. So evangelism is a command. It is for everyone as long as you have accepted Jesus as Savior and made him Lord over your life. Lastly, when it comes to evangelism, we are not alone. If you look at Matthew, the Great Commission, you can split it into these two words. Co-mission. It's a partnership. You speak, you are living it out, but what happens? The Holy Spirit brings about what? The conviction. You don't need to force people to believe your faith. You just need to plant those seeds of faith and allow the Holy Spirit what? Water and grow those faiths to become what? Manifested. Amen. Amen. Now let's touch on the power of one. So we all understand that evangelism is for everyone, right? It's not for a selected few. It's not about just handing out leaflets and inviting people to church. Yes, that's part of it, but it's not only about that. It's about living a lifestyle wrapped in evangelism on a daily basis. Okay? The gospel moves powerfully one person at a time. When each believer takes responsibility for just one soul. So now we're looking at the practical way of evangelism. When each believer takes responsibility for just one soul, we can change the world for Jesus together. It's normal to get someone else after meeting what? Jesus. Amen. Now something probably will pop up on the screen, and I want us to just touch base on this. Let your one be at least equal to or greater than one. The power of one. Can we all say this? Forgive me, I like a little bit of maths. And but we can all remember the right elbow, right? Oh, sorry. That was like a Michael Jackson slide. That's good. Amen. Can we all remember the right elbow? What does it mean? Greater than the left elbow. Less than. Okay, so we're all in the same. Okay. So it says, let your one. And what the Holy Spirit told me about one while I was preparing for this is outreach never ending. Amen? I thought you guys would say amen to that. Amen? Amen. Because I don't want us to go with the concept that, oh, after today, just go and go for one soul. Right? So it's an outreach that never ends. Let your one be at least greater than or equal to what one. So what we're simply saying here is, at least win one soul for Christ. At least one soul. It reminds me of this hymn my dad taught us back then. I can't really, it's more like when your time comes, do you want to go to the Father empty-handed? Who remembers that hymn? You should remember that hymn. You know you know these old things. But it's the whole concept of the hymn is when your time comes, you don't want to go back to the Father what? Empty-handed. At least one soul for him. So hold on to this. Let your one be what? At least greater than or equal to what? One. Now let's look at some biblical examples of one and how it transpired. So Andrew actually what? Reached out to who? Peter. After his encounter with what? Jesus. What did he do? He reached out to what? To Peter. Amen? So if you see John 1, I'm cut off time, probably will not read it. John 1, 40 to 42, the whole concept is there. That what? After Andrew encountered what? Jesus, he reached out to who? Peter. But this is what I want us to take off from this, right? Just as Andrew did, our responsibility is to bring people to Jesus so they can encounter him. Therefore, invite people to your circle and don't stop what inviting them. There is an opportunity on the 1st of June. So Pastor Chris, I'm doing my job now with the cards. So on the 1st of June, there's an opportunity. Invite someone. My church Sunday. There's nothing greater than your testimony. Your true life experience. I believe all of us here have encountered Jesus in one way or the other. And this is the real concept of encounter. It's not a one-off experience. Yes, there's one that defines that whole relationship. But you don't want to always say, oh, I encountered Jesus 40 years ago. It should be a daily thing. Have you encountered him this morning? During the worship, during the prayer, before you left home, while you're driving to church, while you're going back home, are you encountering him? Is there a transformation? Is he revealing? Are you unwrapping that gift? The moment you unwrap that gift on a daily basis, through what? Prayers, through reading your Bibles, through house fellowship, called what in family church? Connect group. Back in Nigeria, it's called house fellowship, right? You can tell I'm Nigerian. Okay. Also, Philip reached out to who? Nathanael. Same, still in that John 1, 45 to 46. But when he was reaching out to Nathanael, something is captivating there. Nathanael asked the question, can anything good come out from what? Nazareth. And that's why some of our friends are asking us, can anything good come out from what? Church. The more you are inviting them, someone asking you that same question, can anything good come out from church? But Philip's response is classic. What did he say? Come and see. Amen. That's what we need to do sometimes. Don't go into an argument. It's not necessary. What should you just tell them? 1st of June, come and see. And that encounter will happen in Jesus' name. Amen. It all starts with one person sharing with another person. I'll tell you guys a story. Recently, I do basketball, free basketball sections. The organization is called Basketball for Buckland. And there's this guy that's been helping me for the past like 3 years, a white British guy. Grew up in the care system, so never really had anything to do with church or Christianity. But last week it was impressed in my heart to just invite him to church. And then we're chatting about the section we're about to have. And I asked him, what are you doing on Sunday? He was like, oh, I'm just chilling and hanging out with my girlfriend. And I'm like, do you mind coming to church? And looked at it, we're like, actually, he doesn't mind going to church. That what happens, the only time he has gone to church, he had to go to church was probably an event or when he was in school, that he will come to church. Praise the Lord. And for me alone, that is a testimony. Sometimes we just need to speak. Sometimes we need to speak those words. Sometimes we actually need to tell people, ask them, what are you doing on Sunday? What are you doing this Sunday? And you find out most people are not doing anything on Sunday. They just, it's a rest day. It's actually their Sabbath. Just rest. Take it as Sabbath. The Sabbath in the day. Amen. Amen. Okay. So finally, your one matter. Your one matter. Your outreach that never ends. What matters? It matters. Everyone counts. Everyone matters. Multiplication. It's all about us carrying out this responsibility of our one. And what happens? We'll see those numbers actually what's coming to pass. I was reading the monthly, and I saw we had 100 people here. 100 people. Why can't we have 100 people every Sunday? It's possible. What brought them to church that day? Bring them to it again. Let them come again. My wife's actually not increasing my voice. Let me keep my voice down. Before I get too excited. She's my control measure. That's why. God bless her. God bless Jess. Okay. So please note that your one matters. And I'll tell you something. What Luke 15:10 tells us. It tells us this, that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who what? Repents. That tells you your one what matters. Over one sinner that turns away from sin and accepts Jesus. There is what? Joy in heaven. It doesn't matter where the person is from. It doesn't matter what the person has done or who the person is. There is what? Joy. There is joy. Amen. I'll conclude with this statement. So this statement is a statement that was, it was like a quote, like an analogy, like a question as well. I have three daughters. Sorry, they're meant to be here today, but they're not feeling too well. And I also heard that we don't have explorers here. And trust me, my last girl is two. We'll be probably be two of us be doing this message on stage. So just the way my brother and his daughter are doing the sound there. So I just told them, go to heaven with my sister. They're with my sister in heaven. But the first one, she's six. She turns seven in July. Imagine if I don't know her date of birth. I'm finished. July 4th, American baby. July 4th. She turned seven, but early this year, she told me, not even like early, like some couple of months or weeks ago, she asked me this question. She said, Daddy, this earth is like a nursery, and after the day ends, we all have to go home, which is heaven, right? From a six-year-old, when she asked me that, I was pondered, but I was joyed as well. But she thought to have gotten this concept that the earth, it's like a nursery. And when the day ends, or like a school, when the day ends, we all have to go but home. But now, this is my question to you guys. When you go home, what are you going to show your father or your Lord? Are you going empty-handed? It's a challenge. When the day, end of day comes in this nursery, would it be said of you, me, and of you, that I added to God's family, I carried out my responsibility? It's a charge to everybody this morning. Carry out your responsibility. Add to God's family, and God will bless you. Remember, God is patient with you and patient with me, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to what? Repentance. This is our responsibility in this family. God wants a big family. He can do it. He can do it with a flick of a finger. He can do it. But he wants us to partake in that doing. He has entrusted us because he believes that we have all it takes. And he has given us the ability to do it. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray before I take my seat. Precious everlasting Father, we thank you for your word that has come this morning. We thank you for the impact your word will do and cause in our hearts. Lord God, even as we step out from this building this morning, we know we're not stepping out of your presence, because your presence is within us. And therefore, Lord God, the grace, the ability to carry out this responsibility which you have given us already, may we be nurtured. May we be prompted in situations to act right, Lord God, to speak to people, to point people to your direction. May we have all that it takes to live a life wrapped in evangelism, that people will look at us and say of a truth, he, she, they, them are Christ-like. They live for Jesus. And for that reason, we want to know this Jesus. May this be said of us at the fullness of time. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.